whatever. We'll see where it goes. If it runs long, you guys need a vermouth or whatever, just tell me. We'll get you out of here. I don't want to inconvenience you guys in any way.
I'm driving around in a car in freezing cold. What makes you think I'm inconvenient?
Nothing. Nothing at all. Exploding Barrel Podcast, everybody. This is Mike Minotti. I'm joined by my brother, AJ.
Hello.
And we are also joined by Tommy and Edmund from Team Meat.
Hello, I'm Edmund Minotti.
You wish.
And I am Thomas Minotti, the third.
This is fantastic. This guys, surprise.
Yeah, surprise. We have family in the game development community. No one knew that.
We're the... Edmund and I are the Minotti twins.
Yeah, it's weird. But fraternal,
we're just,
obviously.
We're just fraternal twins. Yeah. Fraternal only.
So it's kind of funny how this kind of even came to be. I think I kind of said something bad about Super Meat Boy or you guys on Twitter, and you guys kind of found me.
Yeah, I believe what it was which I can't fault you 100% because it was actually Kotaku's fault.
But, yeah, no, that's true. I blame them for everything anyways.
You had read a synopsis of a synopsis by Kotaku of our postmortem, and I think you said something that I don't either we were complaining or something along those lines.
I said that I recalled you guys getting decent promotion. I'm like, I don't know what they're complaining about. I thought they were promoted pretty good. And then you called me out on it and said, you should read the whole thing. I'm like, I did read the whole thing. And then I'm like, wait, I read the whole Kotaku story. I didn't actually get rid of the postmortem at all.
The good thing is out now. It's out now. The full postmortem's out, so everybody could read the full story and get full context.
It's on the game.
But yeah, I can understand how. Gama Sutra. I can understand how. People could read it and be like, "Hey, wait! They got pretty good promotion." But that's not at all what it was about. It had nothing to do with the promotion that we got. It was what we didn't get that we were promised, which is just like one of the 10 things we talked about in our in our whole like write up that we spent days on. And of course, Kotaku just grabbed
a very small part.
Yeah, grabbed the small part.
The thing about Kotaku is. The way I describe Kotaku is journalism refined. So take the best journalists that you can and condense them all down, and that's Kotaku. They are the best. They don't sensationalize. They report the facts. It's like, okay, if you want to think of... They're basically the 2020 of games. Okay?
Yeah.
So... Ryan Crescente is basically Barbara Walters. That Stephen Cotillio guy. No, actually, he's Barbara Walters.
They're all Barbara Walters.
They're all Barbara Walters.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And they put out the best stories. They do the most research. And,
sometimes...
ever report on...
Well, that's the thing. Like, when I go to Kotaku, I usually have to have dictionary.com open because I'm like, what the fuck? Like,
what words are they saying?
Oh my god, I have to bookmark page 4 because I know it's going to go for at least another 5 or 6 pages because it's pretty in-depth stuff.
All right, guys, I'm ordering my cheese roll-ups. Hold on.
Okay, we'll give Tommy a moment. He's driving around in his car right now.
He's trying to get food. It's just his dedication to the show.
That's pretty good. Do you guys have the cheese roll-ups? I would like 4 of them.
It's not even really funny.
Oh, that'll do it.
It really is. All right, so this is already the best episode of the show we've ever done.
Awesome.
Perfect. 180 episodes.
The best part about America is?
What's that?
Best part about America is I can buy 4 cheese roll-ups for $3.84 and put it on a credit card. This is why This is why the other countries are beating us.
Mike, why don't you give us our rundown?
What? Oh, right, the rundown. So here's what we're doing on the show today, besides ordering fast food, which was delightful. But, you know, we're gonna do just an open discussion with Team 8 for a bit, talk to them about that postmortem and some other things. Then we'll talk about the news, what's been going on in the industry. We got our Let's Go Topical thing. We just talk about some topics, and we'll talk about what we've been playing, and we'll get to the new releases, and that'll be the show. So, you know, it's going to be fantastic, isn't it? I bet you guys are all at Twitter. Is that a word?
Yeah, I'm tweeting right now about it.
Oh, good. Yeah. That's right. Pimp this show out there. Tell them that we're going to get the exclusive on your next game or something. Just lie to them.
Exclusive.
Well, we're not making games anymore.
Yeah, we've retired.
Oh, that's big news, too. Yeah, I mean, I can still make money off that. It's all good.
Money?
I can still use this to propel my own career.
That works.
Mm-hmm. So now it was the big sticking point. The thing that everyone noticed was this kind of contention with Microsoft and all that. So explain the situation again, how they wanted you to kind of push development fast so you can get in on the Games Feast promotion.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's as simple as... We got the option to do a promotion, which was Game Feast. In order to do the promotion, we had to crunch, you know, 4 months plus of work into 2 months and get everything done to get into the promotion. And the reason why you get into a Microsoft promotion is because they guarantee that you're not going to have to compete against other games when you launch, because you get an exclusive launch week. And you also get other perks, like, you know, a review by Major Nelson, number one spotlight advertising, and so on and so forth. So that's why we did it, and we actually, the development, the crunch was really, really hellish. Like, it's hard to convey just how insane development was and kind of how much we put ourselves through. And the further away we get from it, the more it actually fades, but it was borderline traumatizing. Like, it was a very traumatic 2 months, because it was kind of a surreal experience where me and Tommy weren't really sleeping more than 5 hours a day because we had to get shit done. So we were working the whole day just sitting. So your legs die and you're atrophied at your desk, and you work.
Okay.
What was that?
I think he's getting his
ordered.
Hey. Oh God.
That somehow took away from the seriousness of this, but yeah. And Tommy could not get any cheese roll-ups this whole time. There were no cheese roll-ups to be found. But no, yeah, even like to the point where Tommy wasn't even actually able to go out and get food, and his parents would have to bring him food, or he just pretty much wouldn't eat. And I wasn't able to go anywhere either. And for 2 months, we just worked insanely, insanely hard. And it was just kind of this fucking mind fuck where I lost track of the days. Sometimes I thought I was repeating the same day, because you're just doing the same thing over and over and over again. And with Tommy, like, since we're basically crunching 4 months into 2 months, he was basically having to submit stuff to be tested bug-wise while we were developing it. So it just kept piling up and piling up. So when he would knock out 50 bugs, and then it would come back with 100 more bugs because he had added a bunch of new stuff that hadn't been tested yet. And it was just it was an overwhelming experience. And but we thought, you know, in the end we would be taken care of, because it would be worth it. And in the end, it just kind of all fell apart. And because of, we believe because of poor performance of the other games in the Game Feast, they pretty much wanted to back away from it. And because of the backing away from it, we didn't get any of the stuff that everybody else got. Because like Hydrophobia and Comic Jumper both got exclusive weeks, as well as very, you know, number one spotlight promotion, you know, reviews by Major Nelson and all that sort of stuff too. And when we came out, our Game Feast stuff was there's no more Game Feast logos. It's like the Game Feast didn't exist anymore. And then we got launched alongside Costume Quest, which was a pretty... When we heard that, we were like shitting ourselves, because, you know, it went from us not competing with anybody and feeling like, okay, we're a very, very small game, and we're going to get this opportunity to have a week exclusive. And then suddenly we launched with actually two other games. I don't even remember the name of the other game that we launched with. So it was like, holy fuck. It was like, what the fuck's happening and why is it happening? And we could never get, you know, solid answers on why. But that was basically it. That was what we were trying to say in the end. And of course, you know, if you say anything negative about your publisher, people are going to be like, oh, well, they hate, you know, Microsoft and hated the experience and everything else. When really it was only that part of development that sucked ass. Like, that really fucking sucked. But everything else, like, our producer was amazing. All the creative people that we work with are really, really awesome. We love development and everything until that point. But we felt like it was very important for us to be honest and very honest. And, like, the once you start not saying stuff, then you're just backing yourself into a corner and you're going to fuck yourself over and somebody else is going to get fucked over. It's like, basically, we just saw it as this, is if other people were more honest with their development and not worried about the bridges that they might burn or whatever else, I think more people would be helped in the long run. And a lot of developers would be on the lookout for certain things. Like, if somebody would have told us, hey, you should get those things in a contract because I've had an experience with Microsoft and they didn't do these things, that would have helped us immensely. And that's essentially what we're saying is, you know, we made that mistake because of this. Like, if we would have known and somebody was honest with us, because after the fact, it's funny, all these people come out of the woodwork and say, wow, I read your story and it was identical to our experience with Microsoft. It's like, well, fuck.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, almost, why didn't you say
every
something?
Almost every single developer we've talked to has said one thing or another that's like, yeah, they did this to us. And it's just like, it's just mouth-dropping, like, holy shit, seriously? You know? Like, nobody acts surprised that any of this stuff happened to us. So,
yeah. I mean, are you guys, does it make you guys nervous or anything, like, to kind of be the first ones to be vocal about this? Or, I mean, or do you just, like, kind of not care? Well, what's your attitude towards that?
I think,
I don't really care.
Yeah, a lot of people are like, a lot of people are like, I can't believe you'd burn your bridge. Like, a lot of people get really serious and get angry about it and be like, you just made a fucking huge mistake and you just blacklisted yourself from Microsoft and you burned your bridge. Well, it's like, the thing that people don't seem to understand is, no, we're not retarded, okay? We realize there are going to be ramifications for the things that we say. Microsoft burned their bridge with us. That's why we're being vocal about this and being honest. It's not the other way around. It's not like, you know, we obviously weren't going to jump back in bed with Microsoft for the next game. You know, it's quite obvious.
No, exclusivity or anything like that.
Oh, go ahead, Tommy.
I was just saying, there was going to be, like, there would have been a chance that we would have put something out, and there still might be a chance that we put something out on Xbox, but it won't be this kind of stuff where it's like, oh, we have to give exclusivity, or, oh, we're going to crunch to get in this promotion. It's going to be one of those things where if we go to Microsoft and say, hey, we have this game, do you want it? And they say no, we just say, okay. And that's it. You know, it's more on our terms at that point.
Yeah. Have you guys heard from Microsoft since this postmortem came out?
We've heard from our producer, which we feel for, because of course he gets, you know, the shit end of the stick for this as well, because he was our producer. So I think, you know, a lot of people there would be like, why didn't you wrangle your team, or I don't know what's going on there. And I feel for him for sure. But no, Microsoft says it's quiet. It's, you know, much like the PETA thing, when the PETA thing happened and we responded publicly to them, they didn't ever come back at us, because it's just a rule business-wise that you don't ever retaliate, I guess you could say. So I highly doubt that they'll ever publicly respond to anything like that. What would they say? We didn't lie about anything. Like, it's all completely true. And quite honestly... Yeah. There's a shitload of NDA stuff that we can't talk about. You know, like, if it came down to it, we could have just unleashed a shitstorm of a bunch of stuff that would just blow people's minds, but we can't because of NDA. So we just did...
Oh, you teases.
We just did... We did what we could. It's like, it wasn't our goal. The whole thing is, like, our goal here is not to burn our bridges and to slight Microsoft. It is simply to give the developers back something that we could have used, which is just knowledge of... If you're getting offered a promotion and you're going to kill yourself for it, make sure that the things that you're promised are in writing. That's it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, do you feel like...
That's exactly it.
Do you, like, aside from kind of the physical stress on you guys, and, like, I'm sure, like, you wish that didn't happen, like, do you feel it hurt the game being rushed like that? Like, is there something you feel like the game could have benefited from for those extra 2 months of development, like features cut or just content or polish?
There were some minor features cut.
How do you feel about that? Yeah, I mean, there were some features, but I don't feel they were features that would have made her broken the game. Like, I don't feel if we would have added, like, ghost racing or something, that would have attracted the attention of, you know, 50,000 more people or something like that.
Yeah, it's really
hard. The essential brand.
It's hard to gauge, you know, the what ifs, but I could just say, like, I know that it would have been a bit more polished, and Tommy would have had a lot more time to relax with the bugs and not have to stress through them. I think the initial save bug wouldn't have been in. And on my side, I wanted to do Dark World bosses, and that was the only thing that got cut. And probably been able to work on the bosses a little bit more. Like, for me, design-wise, the two things that I... And they're not huge regrets. They're just little nitpicks where it's like, I wish I could have spent a little more time with the bosses, and 2 months of time with the bosses would have been amazingly, like, helpful. And if we had that time with the bosses, we would have been able to add Dark World bosses. But that's about it. And like Tommy said, like, maybe ghost races.
Do you ever see that coming to, like, maybe the PC version down the road?
No.
I just thought I'd ask.
We're fucking done.
Yeah. Tommy has so much on his plate right now, and that's the shitty thing, too, is, like, when you start out development, and Tommy has to make the engine, so the initial development of Super Meat Boy is, like, a good 3+ months of Tommy working alone, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then... after the game comes out, now it's another basically 3 months of Tommy working alone because all the stuff that's coming out doesn't really use me that much. So Tommy still has to do the Mac port, and this is after we release the level editor and finish up the portal, then the Mac port and the Linux port, and that's all Tommy, and I can't do shit. So now Tommy's got this huge plate of stuff that, and I'm sure it makes it even harder to work on when we're not exactly making a profit off of these things because we're giving them away for free. So, yeah, I feel for Tommy.
For that, as far as, like, I'm actually looking forward to doing the Mac and Linux ports because they're more engine-related. It's more new for me. Like, working on the portal and stuff, like, there were certain parts of that that were new, but overall, it just turns into bug fixing, which is not fun. But, like, new development and stuff is fun. So I'm actually looking forward to those. Even though, if I had my way, I wouldn't fucking do them, and I'd work on a new game, but I'll take what I can get right now.
Well, what is the drive to add so many free and new features to a game well after its release, knowing that there probably won't be that much of a profit to it? What motivates that?
I think a lot of it was... wouldn't you say it's just the fact that we promised it? Like, we promised it early on, so we do feel obligated to give the fans... It's very specific to the fans, like... the only people that are gaining anything from this are the diehard fans that really gave us their hard-earned money. Like, it's quite literally from these people, so we're giving back to them, and I think we both feel obligated to do it, and also it's a great way for us to be like, we're not going to do a sequel, and we want you to have fun with the game, so here are the tools. You can make whatever you want. Like, that's kind of, I think, the goal.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to describe it, yeah.
Do you have, like, any kind of idea when Level Editor might be coming out?
I have, like, 2 more things I have to put into it, and then we'll release it.
What kind of things are we talking about here?
they're small things, but you have to understand something. The motivation, I was thinking about it today, and the best way I can describe it is this. Imagine you ran the New York Marathon, okay? And then imagine somebody, right after you ran the New York Marathon, they let you rest for a day. And then they're like, hey, do you want to do, like, 60 sprints, like, back and forth on this football field? And you're like, well, no. And then they're like, well, you kind of have to, because you have to. And you're like, all right. But you don't have to do them right then. You just have to start them right then. But you do have to do 60 of them. That's like, all right. So that 60 sprints... take you a day, you know, if you were totally rested up, now takes you 3 months because, it's just more stuff to do. It's all turning out very well.
Right. Do you guys think that when you are done with all of the Meat Boy content, you're going to take some time off, relax, so you can just jump right into the next thing?
I kind of
want to jump right into the next thing.
Yeah, I think for both me and Tommy, jumping into the next game will be a way to relax. Because it's not an obligation. Like, this is an obligation now. This is work. Like, quite literally, what we're doing now is work. And once work is over, then it's back to fun. And developing a game, especially in the early stages, is really fucking fun. That's why we're doing
it.
So, I definitely want to jump right back in to making a new game. But, I mean, maybe it'll be a simple game. Who knows?
Maybe it'll be a what?
Simple game.
Yeah.
You don't sound convinced, Tommy, that it'll be simple.
He's like, you don't have to fucking code it.
Honestly, for me, it's like working on Meat Boy now, because as you develop a game, you learn. And you learn different techniques, and with programming, you learn, like, a whole bunch of shit. But when you're stuck with the first code base that you wrote, like, 2 years ago, and you're still stuck in that, and you're just sitting there going, I want to fucking rewrite this, or I don't like the way this works, but I can't change it, because if I do, then it'll break all this other stuff, which I still have to fix. So it's going to be nice, like, even if the next game is simple, I'm rewriting a whole bunch of shit in that engine, and I'm really, really looking forward to that, because it's like starting out new. It can be complex, and it can be very, very rewarding and all that stuff, even if it is a simple game for me. Like, I want to rewrite all of our Flash stuff so it all renders as vectors, because that'll be awesome. And then we won't have to worry about up-resing textures and shit. It'll be neato. But yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
All right. I guess so.
Yeah.
Starting the production of the game's fun. I kind of want to talk about a very different aspect of a game's release, dealing with the press and all that. What has that experience been like for you guys?
Tommy and I both agreed that I think it was mostly that we thought it'd be pretty fun, but we had a pact early on that we would take any interview that we got as long as it was over Skype. That was a rule. If we ever got an interview request, if they could do it via Skype, then we'd do it. So we did a shitload of podcasts and interviews, and we had a lot of fun with them. Over, almost a 2 year period now. It went from, like, interviews with IGN to some guy who had a blog spot who wanted to interview us or whatever. And those were really fun. And I think both me and Tommy both have a lot of fun with the press. That's probably all I can really say. I think press stuff is fun. Of course, when people misquote you and sensationalize things, it gets a little strange, but it's also still pretty funny, and you could always just make fun of it. I think me and Tommy just have fun with press stuff, so we end up just fucking around. And
it's like a nice little break.
Yeah.
In development, nice little break where you can just bullshit for a little while, and then it's nice.
Yeah. We also did I did a bunch of comics as promotional material, and that was pretty fun. It was just, like Tommy says, it's a break from the monotony of work, and you'd be surprised how, like, it kind of gets you going. Like, you're excited, and you're talking about what you're working on, and somebody else is listening to you, and they seem excited too, so then you want to get back to work. So it's cool. It's a motivator for sure.
If you use it in that way, it definitely is. It's awesome that way.
So the Potato Sack Games bundle, which you guys are a part of, it's all been kind of involved in this Portal 2 ARG. By the way, what the hell does an ARG stand for?
Augmented Reality Game?
That makes a lot of sense then.
It stands for ARG!
That's what it may as well have been, because I couldn't follow it if I meant to save my life. I suck at augmented reality. I can barely handle, like, the very standard reality that's not augmented a bit. So, but no.
ARGs have been around for a while.
I Love Bees was a big one, right? Yeah, the Halo 2 one.
Halo 2 one. A lot of Nine Inch Nails and Radiohead both did them.
Oh.
Yeah, anybody who's like pretty online savvy artist wise, probably is tapped into ARG stuff.
But you guys were kind of in on this before we all understood what was going on here, and then right now we're at this point where, you know, we have to play all the games from the potato sack so we can unlock Portal 2 earlier.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, there are cynics out there, just, you know, just terrible, terrible cynics who say that this maybe just a stunt to help sell some extra games.
What?
Isn't that the whole fucking point?
Nailed him.
I mean, seriously. Like, yeah, you want to have money with what you do?
So that would be your response to the cynics?
Yeah, the cynics can all kiss my ass. I saw a couple of them on Reddit. Like, it's like, oh, brother, this is just another way to just buy more games. It's like, wow, what kind of fucking miserable life do you live? That you're like, oh, wow, well, what, you know, these people that want to sell games, all they want to do is just sell games.
No, yeah, like, it's just funny. Like, somebody goes out of their way to do something fun to advertise for something. And actually makes it a free game that everybody can get into and play and actually have fun with. And they get shit on? Like, would you rather have them paid money and bought a billboard? Like, I don't understand.
Yeah, I bought a billboard. How about some annoying commercials during your favorite Charlie Rose episodes? Dick. Okay, so I've always thought dicks watched Charlie Rose, but I don't know anything about Charlie Rose. I just saw it one day on PBS, and I saw that it was filmed in front of, like, a black sheet. And it just looked really douchey to me. I don't know anything about it. It could be a really good show. So I apologize to any Charlie Rose fans out there that aren't douchebags.
What's a Charlie Rose? What's he do? What's a Charlie Rose?
I don't know. I just saw him on PBS.
He's an acclaimed interviewer and broadcast journalist.
Doesn't he talk about politics or something?
I guess.
Or he talks to movie stars? I don't know. I think he talks to movie stars.
He seems important.
He has a nice name.
It is a very nice name. That is a much better name than what I have.
Tommy Minotti?
My name is Charlie. Charlie Rose. Yeah, Tommy Biscotti.
Tommy. Oh, you're not the first to do that.
Yeah. All right. I have a quick question, too, because you brought up commercials, and that made me remember. I found this, like, 3 weeks ago. I must have missed when it first appeared, but you guys did, like, a kind of fake commercial with Area 5. How did that come about?
That's kind of a strange story. So when we were in development, I had gallbladder surgery. And it was like an emergency surgery situation. And around that time when I just got out of that, like the day after I got out of the hospital, I hadn't realized that I had scheduled an interview with Area 5 to like preview Super Meat Boy really early. And they came into my house and I was like super drugged. And I think I had suggested around that time that, hey, wouldn't it be awesome if we did a commercial or something like that? And then they were like all into it. And, you know, probably like 8 months later, they were like, oh, let's do this commercial. And it was one of two different commercials that we did. And the other one was with a friend of mine, James Marshall, or James Id, as he goes by, who does a lot of video editing stuff. And he was the one who made the early 90s commercial that looked like it was recorded. Like it looked like a legit early 90s commercial. They both kind of were set in that vein.
Yeah.
But, yeah, those were just kind of two. You know, we just happened across creative people who were excited about the game, and when we suggested, hey, what about a commercial, and they seemed into it, and they both made really awesome commercials for us. And that was basically it. But it all came from some just like morphine-induced coma.
Like all the best ideas.
Yeah.
This is just kind of a...
I'm going to go into this grocery store right now and see if I can get a drink.
Okay,
you go ahead, Tommy. We'll catch up with you.
Yeah, oh no, I'm taking the phone.
Oh, okay, never mind. Go ahead.
I don't expect him to.
Yeah, no, we're still fine. This is gonna work out fine. Yeah, no, I don't understand.
So how good are you guys at Super Meat Boy? Because that game's pretty tough.
I'm good enough to beat all the levels in it.
Oh, you can beat all of them.
Can you?
Well, I have to.
Is there ever a time where you're like, man, fuck this level. No one will ever know if I just go on to the next one.
And this will kind of put some perspective on the crunch time. So the last week of crunch time, we didn't have really many testers. We just had bug testers, and we didn't have time for actual, like, a focus group that would test a game or anything like that. We didn't have any legit testers. It was quite literally just the bug testers that were testing the game and us. So, I think Tommy's...
I'm outside now. I'll try to block the wind.
But basically, there was a week where every day I had to beat the game 100% the game, to test it to make sure things were right. And that was fucking horrible. And there were quite a few times where I'd get to the kids' stages. I'd always save them for last, and I would fucking rage out. Like, I feel like my heart got fucked up. Like, I feel like the stress of development and then playing that goddamn game and getting really stressed out with those really hard levels. I mean, there's actually levels that are worse than the Kid Warp for me personally. There's a few Band-Aids that are really, really hard to get. But yeah, I had to get them all. I mean, I had to. I 100% of the game at least 7 times before we released it, and that was fucking.
I think I only 100% of it once.
I just like picture you saying like, "God fucking damn, who made this game? Shit, it was me."
Yeah, the funny thing was the kid stages were harder. And I made them easier so I could beat them because I was having too much trouble with them.
Yeah, I was about to ask if there was ever a time where were there ever levels that were just too hard? And, like, what's it like to find that balance?
Yeah, I actually had to balance some of the early levels to smooth them out to make things a little easier. Tommy actually had put in stuff that would to find out where you were dying. We never even used it. We just kind of...
Yeah, we never use that at all.
You get a good... I mean, when you're playing the game so many fucking times, you get a good idea of what's too hard and what's not hard. And, you know, Tommy's family played, my family played, my wife played. We got a lot of non-gamers playing the game so we could see where other people were kind of fucking up. And we smoothed it out pretty easily. The kid, I think, is the only stage that I actually made easier. That's the only one.
Yeah. Yeah, like, as far as, like, all the design and everything, like, there were only, like, one or two levels that needed actual, like, editing for stuff. But everything else was just, it was usually, like, kind of, like, one shot off. You know, I'd play them, I'm like, oh, wow, this is perfect. So, let's move on.
Yeah.
Now, when you were planning levels for the game, did you draw them out, or did you start kind of going right into the editor and dropping it in, just seeing what worked, or like, what's your process for that?
I originally started, I would only make levels in the editor, but then I got so familiar with the editor that I was able to draw them first. So the majority of the levels in the game were all sketches, like really loose sketches. When I usually design stuff, I will, I have a formula that I go by. It's like introductory mechanics, I call it, I guess, which basically introduces a new mechanic every X levels. And then in those levels, like, so you introduce moving saws, and then the next level it would give you another example of how moving saws might be used, maybe horizontally, vertically, whatever else. And then another example of that as well. And then I move on to a new mechanic, and then I try to couple them together and stuff in the end. And that formula goes throughout all of Meat Boy. Mm-hmm. So it was pretty easy for me to kind of get a good idea of what I wanted where. And I could just sketch down on a piece of paper like, oh, it would be cool if the shooters were coming from, you know, the top down and you had to go up a passageway and, like, kind of dodge back and forth. That would be cool. I haven't done that. So I'd write all these down, and I'd just have, like, a sheet of paper of all these squares with a shitload of different mechanics and different fun ways to avoid obstacles or things that Meat Boy could do. And then I would just, you know, basically, like, look at that as a cheat sheet. And while I'm going through the chapter, I would just take, okay, I can use this here, this here, this here. And then I would just fill in the gaps, basically.
He's lying.
He's lying?
We hired a bunch of Koreans to do it.
Day laborers. They came in and we said, let's make it good. We just kept saying, no, make it better.
Just wait till their postmortem comes out. We get that dirt. Then you guys are in trouble.
We're fine. Who are they going to believe?
Yes. You guys are so lovable.
He would stand behind me and he would poke me in the back, but his hands were on his hips. It was disturbing.
Yeah, it was gross.
Oh God, that's lovely.
That is lovely.
Well, I guess kind of just to bring this home a little bit. Obviously a successful game. A lot of people playing it, loving it, talking about it. You guys kind of taken aback by its success a bit?
Yeah, I don't think any of us had any fucking clue that it would be like this. And I think we both
got very quiet all of a sudden.
Can you hear me?
Yeah,
I can hear you.
Okay. I think both of us didn't expect it. I think we both wanted it. It's just one of those things where you're really unsure. Like, it's really bizarre now to think about, us worrying really, it's just a hindsight thing. Like, of course everybody, if we say something now and jokingly say, oh yeah, we were worried that we wouldn't get into the IGF and we were worried that we wouldn't get into the PAX 10. Like, we were really worried. Like, we...
Yeah. To the point with the PAX 10, I didn't even... I told Ed, just submit it and don't tell me what's going on.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to stress out about it.
Yeah, Tommy did not want to do that again, because the IGF was too stressful. And it was just one of those things.
Yeah.
We believed in the game. We believed that the game was really good and it was really special. We both believed this, but we did not believe anybody else in the world shared this. So... We were very, very worried that we wouldn't get into any festivals. We were worried that we would not get good reviews. We were worried that everybody would say the game was too hard or, it didn't look good enough or this, and this. And those were all legit worries that we were very concerned about. The good thing is mm-hmm. Indie Game the Movie was documenting us this whole time, so you'll get to see a lot of that, really fucking worrying about everything. Yeah, no, I don't think any of us expected this, but I think both of us wanted it. I mean, we both mm-hmm. felt like there was a possibility that people, if people could like this as much as we do, then it could do well. But no,
yeah,
this is it's getting ridiculous. Like, it's getting stupid. Like,
and it's not stopping either. That's the thing. It's not like really slowing down, and it's just it's just bombardment. It's pretty crazy.
It's a huge, huge, huge fucking honor to have so many people liking our game so much, and it just moves me emotionally when I go on YouTube and I see people playing the levels. It's just there's a thing in my head where I was like, oh, it would be so cool if people one day would be playing Super Meat Boy in the same way that I would be playing Mario. Like, I know the levels in Mario from memory, and to think that people could actually feel the same way towards something that me and Tommy did is just amazing. Like, to think that there are kids out there that have memorized all the levels of Super Meat Boy and know how to beat these levels, know all the secrets and all this other stuff is just whoa.
And do a four death run on kid level.
Yeah,
I saw that, and that was freaking crazy.
I can say that neither of us are jaded in the slightest when it comes to that sort of stuff. That is goosebumps, holy shit.
Yeah, seriously.
Like, it's hard for me to even think, wait, we made this? Made this game? Like, this game that people are playing and actually really enjoying? Like, we made this? It just doesn't seem like we could have done this.
No, it seems more, you look at it after not looking at it for, somebody play it and stuff. There's a sense of magic about it, it's unreal that it's to that point. You always knew it as this thing. You always looked at it in a certain way. Looked at it as the creator of it, but then to see it being played without you actually pushing buttons and being played in the way that you were used to seeing it is just oh, that's kind of crazy.
Then you guys, what last week was it that they released Super Meat Boy Ultra Edition on Amazon? It's coming to Walmart too, right?
Yeah, it's actually in Walmart.
Yeah, it's in Walmart now.
So
I heard it's actually sold out in Walmart. I've heard from a bunch of different people it's gone.
It's gone in quite a few.
So because originally the game was always going to be digitally distributed and everything. So is it cool to like get like that tangible box product that you like got off a shelf of this game you made? Like, how does that make the experience different?
That is the coolest fucking thing ever, is what that is.
It really is. It's weird, like, how, like, isn't it, Tommy, isn't it weird how, like, validating it is? It finally seems like we made a game because we can hold it.
Yeah, like, I still don't really even process it all that well. Like, I just got the Ultra Edition, the one you sent me. I just got those the other day. I sent one to my parents through Amazon, but, yeah, like, the act of number one ordering on Amazon and then number two in an Amazon box and then just sort of holding it is insane. It's pretty awesome.
The funny thing is the story of the physical edition is simply like me and Tommy wanted to do a physical edition and we wanted to do it independently because we wanted, of course, to have complete control over what went into it. Because I wanted to do something special, and it all actually came from remember when they did the, well, I think it was last year, the Mario 25th anniversary, box set thing?
I'm going to, while you talk, I'm going to pay for this right so I can get out of here.
Okay.
1 second.
So, basically, I had bought the 25th anniversary Mario collection, and I'm actually mostly bought it because it had a booklet in it that was, like, supposed to be this big, fat booklet of, like, all the history of Mario. And I don't know if you guys purchased it, but... when I finally got home and opened it up, I was like, what the fuck? Because the booklet was really tiny. And I'm like, okay, well, give them the benefit of the doubt. And I go through it, and it really wasn't at all what I wanted. What I wanted was something very specific. I wanted sketches, and I wanted commentary of the people who made the game and people who designed characters. And I want to see all that nitty-gritty stuff. And after I saw that, I said, I need to make this right. In our game, like if we do a special edition, I want to give people who are really fans of the game exactly what I would have wanted, in terms of behind the scenes, whatever. So, like when we got the opportunity to do that, we were originally going to self-publish, but we got contacted by a distributor, which let us be the publisher, so we had complete control over it, and they were able to get us in Walmart. Eventually, GameStop is coming out as well, and Amazon. And I took the time out of my day to, I think I took a week to do a 40-page manual, which isn't a manual. It's a comic book / sketchbook that comes with a DVD, as well as, like a double-sided slip that has a poster on one side and a custom sleeve on the other, and then the outer box and everything. I just packed the actual CD full of as much extras as I possibly could that we've collected over the year or whatever, and to try to make something that was really special, because realistically, we're making a lot less than we're making digitally from this. So it's not at all for profit's sake. It's quite literally, again, just like the editor, it's for fans to have something tangible that they can, hold in their hands. They could read the manual. They can. It's just something special that we can, people can go to the store and buy. But realistically, you really don't make that much from retail.
Yeah.
But yeah,
I'm back now, bud.
Oh, wow, welcome back. Hope you got a soda or something.
I had to buy a 2-liter of caffeine-free Diet Dr. Pepper because they didn't have individuals. So
you gonna chug that 2-liter? You got your cheese roll-ups?
Chugged it all.
You got your cheese roll-ups?
I already ate all of those.
Really? Wow.
They're not very big.
Yeah, those were.
Tommy, you ever seen a seagull eat like a chicken bone?
No.
And they kind of just like the chicken bone just goes in their mouth, and then they kind of bob their head back and forth, and the chicken bone slides down their throat. That's how Tommy eats cheese roll ups. I've seen it. It's weird.
Yeah, no, it's because I don't have any teeth because they all rotted out from the diving.
Yeah, it's creepy. Yeah. And then you're talking to him, and then suddenly he goes, "What?" And then like the full cheese roll up will just pop back out. And he has to re-digest it, go through the whole process again.
Yeah. It does that with 6-inch subs from Subway.
It's weird. That's why we stopped going there.
Yeah, I am quite repulsive. Very, very repulsive.
But so lovable.
Yeah. I try.
I think that was the kind of official end of that segment.
Yeah. Good times.
Yes. That's it. So I guess we're going to talk about the gaming news and all that stuff. You guys going to hang around, talk some games with us?
Tommy, do you need to go?
I'm going to go because I have a headache and I'm tired of driving around now.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough.
If you want, what games came out just now, and I'll quickly talk about them as if I know them and have played them.
Give us one game that you played this week that you really liked.
Pass.
I was like, awkward silence. Did he hear me?
It's all
probably
stuff he can't talk about. I guess to play the cool games before they come. He's probably playing Portal 2.
Tommy,
I played Portal 2 in December.
Almost
all the way through.
Damn you, sir. Damn you. All right.
It's fucking awesome. But yeah.
I would hope so.
Sorry.
I would very much hope so. All right.
Give
me a quote about what do you think about all this Nintendo Next System rumor stuff. Give me a quote on that.
I hope they beef it up, and I hope it has shaders, and I hope it has a good online store. All of those are what I hope. Everything else doesn't matter at all to me. I don't care about motion shit. I don't care about touchscreen shit. I care about good games and horsepower. There you go.
All right. Well, thank you very much, sir.
I actually heard. I read it on some site that it's going to run the same chip that the Xbox does, which is a 3-core IBM.
Yeah, I saw that too. Which I mean, it's weird to me that they wouldn't go at least a little bit above.
Is it sad that I actually thought you meant the original Xbox chip? Like they were upgrading from a GameCube to the original Xbox? I was like, oh!
Yeah.
I thought they were going to do better, but I mean, you know, it's an improvement.
The processor, I believe the processor in the Wii is, I believe it's better than the original Xbox. I think it is. Not exactly sure, though.
Well, how about that?
But I don't know if that's a really good accomplishment, seeing that thing came out like a million years ago.
Yeah.
So, whatever. Yeah.
All right. Well, you've been an amazing sport. Very much fun to talk to. Thanks again, and you are always welcome back.
Thank you, and this was a good interview. So,
thank you.
You know what? Take that compliment with you.
Put that in
your pocket. That's yours.
Oh, it's going in my resume.
Put that in your resume. That's a feather in your cap right there, buddy.
Yeah, that's right, man.
All right, that's enough of me being condescending. I'm not going to be any condescending.
You were being condescending, what?
No, Mike, he wasn't. It's okay.
Oh, okay. No, he loves it. This was his best.
Guys. Well,
you know. All right.
Fare thee well, sir.
Hey, thank you for the interview. It was good fun.
Awesome.
All right, thank you very much. It was a great time. And
peace out.
We'll see him later, and we will keep going on. Yep. I guess we're going to jump into the news. Edmund's going to stick with us. So why don't you tell us what's on the agenda, AJ? What happened this week?
Let's go down the list. The first thing I had was the Portal ARG, but we kind of already talked about that. So good job,
Got some insiders on that, yeah.
So everyone can calm down. After the earthquakes in Japan have started to, well, they're kind of starting to subside, Mega Man Legends 3 Project is back on.
The long-lasting effect.
Right. But yeah, Mega Man Legends 3 Project, work has resumed. Everyone can relax.
Is that one where it has a horribly rendered 3D model?
I don't know, I just saw they were like voting on Mega Man's exact outfit, and they all look the same to me.
Was it the one where they had like?
Yet.
Okay, I saw this one a while back. I think it was supposed to be online or something, and it showed like a bunch of these bizarre 3D models of Mega Man, and I did not like it.
I think it's all about Mega Man Universe.
Yeah,
that's
canceled.
Okay, good. Good. I'm glad that ended.
But it was Mega Man. I don't like seeing anything Mega Man be canceled.
You'll
I want to give all Mega Man a free pass all the time.
Why?
Because I love Mega Man. You know this.
That's true.
That was like that. Mega Man was like the first game for me.
Wouldn't you see for me it's the opposite. Like, why would you want something tainting something that you love so much? True. Wouldn't you want them to not release something that would be bad and that has the Mega Man name?
See, you never thought of it like that.
I want them to keep releasing something until they hit on something good. If they keep, if they keep trying, they'll hit it eventually, right?
Yeah,
but they're not going to release it.
Look, at this point, at this point, the last thing I'm expecting from the Mega Man people is ambition, right? At least make something fun. I don't know, but I don't like Mega Man Legends either. So that much, I know Mega Man Legends has some diehard fans. So Mega Man Legends 3, eh. Whatever. I saw their Mega Man designs. I think the second one was the best one. They all kind of looked the same, mm-hmm. except the one was kind of like not wearing crotch armor piece.
I didn't even notice.
So he had like a mega package.
Good.
What's yeah, Mega Man games. I mean, I really love Mega Man 1 and 2. And
what, you don't like 3?
Not really. If I had my way, I would just make those two games into one game and then never make anything else Mega Man. And then you'd have this perfect memory of awesome Mega Mans, and then nothing would ever taint it.
I'm almost with you, but you got to put 3 in there. Come on, Snake Man.
Well, yeah, maybe. Maybe.
Also the best music of any of them.
I don't remember the music for 3 for some reason.
They get the weapon.
But it's the same thing with, like, we talked about this too, me and Tommy, like the Tony Hawk games. Like, I don't know if you guys remember, but Tony Hawk 1 and 2 were really fucking good.
Oh, yeah. I've been saying for a long time that they should just put those in XBLA. It'd be awesome.
No, and then they fucked it all up. And then it's just like, that's what happens when you just take one idea and you just stretch it out over the course of 10 games. And it's just like, it gets so old and so redundant that you can't even look at those old games as something that you really love. And that's one of the reasons why we're not going to do a sequel to Meat Boy. I mean, aside from the fact that I don't have any fucking ideas that I feel would be worth making a sequel to, or aside from the fact that Tommy and me obviously want to be done with this and don't want to go back there, but I don't want to taint it, you know? I don't want to make a game that's not good as the first game, and then people are like, oh, well, it's not as good as the first game, and then the last thing that they played, the last memory they had of Meat Boy is a fucking subpar version. You know, and that's just not something I want to do. But of course, everybody else does that because that's how you make money, and that's called branding. Like that's a fucking term.
You should make Meat Boy Adventures, like kind of like Sonic Adventures, and like Meat Boy has like a bunch of talking friends now, and there's like a fishing mini game. Just like totally ruin it.
Yeah, you have a little meat house, and you collect furniture for your house. Then you get these little feet babies that you have to like tend to when they grow up, and yeah, it's going
to
be great.
You can copy those to your 3DS to take with you.
Oh yeah, and you could also print them out on cards off your computer, and then you take a picture of it, and then a Meat Boy appears in 3D.
There you go. Yep. There.
If you guys start working now, you might make the next Game Feast.
It's going to be great.
We Too launch title confirmed, everybody.
Oh God.
Yeah.
Okay. What's the next headline?
Tangent. Awesome. Let's see. Team Fortress 2 kind of wrapped up their charity hat sale for Japan. They broke $430,000 in hat purchases for Japanese aid. That's pretty sweet.
Yeah, that's pretty nice.
But this pleases me.
Yeah.
I have no insightful commentary about it, but you know,
and
good for them.
Call it out because it also ties to my next story. They've released the hatless update for Team Fortress 2 this week, which is instead of an update with hats, there are no hats.
Clearly, we have inferred that much.
Yes, they added a coaching mode now where you can get matchmake with a better player who will teach you the game. I haven't tried this yet. I don't know how it works.
What does that mean? Because I read that, but it didn't really explain it.
Yeah, I don't really know either. But they also added some more training missions for some classes, and they reworked. It's a reworked version of Badlands is in the patch as well.
Okay. I just want the Meet the Medic video.
I know. It's supposedly coming. Someday. Let's see. The guys making Streets of Rage Remake Final released it to have Sega pull it after 2 days to protect their intellectual property.
That's lame.
I know.
It's lame. Although, part of me is like, you kind of have to see it come.
Well, the shitty thing is that they did reach out to Sega before they were done and, like, never got any indication that, like, you know, it was going to get pulled. So they're like, okay, well, we're going to keep working. So, like, you know, the feeling is, like, Sega let these guys finish this game only just to yank it after they're done instead of saying it, like, off the get-go, like, don't bother. I mean, they worked on this for years.
Right.
Couldn't they basically, I mean, if I was in their situation, I would just make sure that a bunch of different torrent sites have the game up so everybody could share it.
Oh, yeah, I mean, you can't
stop the game from getting around. But that does fucking suck. It doesn't even make any goddamn sense because who the fuck cares? I don't know.
It's just Streets of Rage. Like, seriously.
Like, Nintendo never came out, came after that guy that did the, what was that, the version of Mario where you could play as a bunch of different Nintendo characters?
What's it called?
Super Mario Crossover.
Yeah. Like, because they obviously saw that it was a fucking fan game. Like, they're not going to lose anything to this. It's only going to come back to them. It's just so weird when people do that.
Didn't Nintendo stop that that 2D remake of Ocarina of Time? Or did they not stop that? Am I making that up? Is that still happening?
I don't think they stopped it.
I think that just fell apart.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt that fell apart because that's way too fucking ambitious for something for
free.
Could've
been cool, though, but yeah.
We'll always have nice trailers.
Yeah.
Look back on those fondly. All right.
Well,
next.
PlayStation hacker GeoHot and Sony have settled.
That's nice.
Yeah. He's basically...
Isn't Anonymous still pissed, though?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They're furious. But yeah, GeoHot basically is not allowed to hack again under penalty of law. He is forsworn ever buying a Sony product ever again.
Interesting. Do you have much opinion about the Hacksaws, Edmund?
I don't really know much about what you guys are talking about. That's why I was staying silent.
Okay.
Fair enough. And we won't ask for your input.
Next.
People will hack shit. I'm like an example of something that kind of pissed me off but didn't fully piss me off was while we were doing the last part of the ARG before this stuff happened that's happening now. One of our last little things was this really in-depth ARG thing, I don't know what you want to call it, stage, where people would find the address of a warehouse in Santa Cruz, where I live, where there was a posters set up which would give clues to a code that you'd have to type in. And it was this really cool in-depth thing that was really fun for people, and it was really awesome to actually see it happen and actually went out there and saw the guy doing it and gave him a copy of Meat Boy and everything, and it was pretty fucking cool. But somebody hacked the game early, got the fucking solution, and kept trying to leak it into the IRC. And it was pretty fucked because it was like, oh, you know, this fun thing that we have set up for people to fuck around with isn't going to happen because this guy's trying to spoil it. But luckily, the hacker never actually addressed and said, this is the password. He just kept spamming it, but nobody got it. But that happens. That happens often. There's always going to be people who are trying to spoil the fun and hack through. And we have people hacking, you know, leaderboards and stuff like that for Meat Boy. But, I mean, what's the fucking point? Usually people just are like, okay, obviously that guy hacked the game, so
right.
Let's count that. And, you know, I'm number 10 or whatever.
All right. So next, in what's always a fun move, instead of being delayed, a game is being pushed up a week. Brink will be releasing May 10th instead of May 17th, which pleases me because I'm very excited for that game. Did you play it at PAX, Mike?
I know very little about Brink, going to be honest. I didn't touch it at all. It's basically a multiplayer-focused shooter, right?
Yeah, but it's got kind of like a Mirror's Edge tilt to movement, and there's storytelling within the matches.
Wait, what about Mirror's Edge?
It's got, like, the parkour. I think it looks really good.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah.
Okay. I wish I had played it then, if I had known that.
We'll play it in less than a month.
For 5 seconds, which is... Right, when I just looked at it, it just kind of looked like another shooter. I didn't know about the parkour.
Yes.
I am misinformed.
That's okay. We got some release dates here for the 3DS. It has been revealed that The Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time 3D is coming out June 19th. Yay? Anyone?
That sounds like a good date. Why not?
Okay, great.
I know Tommy's going to buy it. I know that was the game he was looking forward to. Tommy and I
buy it.
We both got 3DSs, and we both got Street Fighter, and, yeah, you know. I think everybody's on the same page with the 3DS, where it's like, wow, it would be awesome if there was a game that was made for the system.
Right.
Yeah. Which,
but you know, hey, it's
that's why I say get Ghost Recon. That game's sweet. It's like the only
you're the one who says that.
It's the only game. I am not. That is not true. And it's the only game like out for the system right now that's completely original, even though it is kind of derivative of XCOM. But still,
it's original yet derivative. You just said.
Well, yeah, but it's not a port. Let me put it that way.
Okay, but that's fair enough.
Did you say it plays like XCOM?
Yeah, it's designed. The lead designer is the guy who designed XCOM.
Okay, that is promising then, because yeah. XCOM is pretty great.
Yeah, it's good. Anyway, let's see. They also announced Wii Motion or Wii Play Motion, which just like ye old Wii Play is going to be a bunch of mini games, and it will come with a Wii Motion Plus enabled Wii Remote. So that
fantastic.
Will be in the top 10 for a year and a half, just like Wii Play was.
Yes, and it'll be the best selling game of all time.
Yeah. Then we also got the Japanese release date for Star Fox 64 3D, which is July 14th, which seems really fucking long. Like, I thought this game would be out by, you know...
It seems like it should not be a hard game to make.
No.
We're going to port this game over.
I mean, I was looking at, like, the kind of pseudo-trailer website thing they made. It's just kind of the opening cutscene of them running to their ships. It does look like they did some work on the game. Like, you know, the character models look a lot better and everything, so that's good. It's not just a straight port. They worked on it, which is good.
Fair enough.
Let's see. Either of you guys see the gameplay footage and the trailer for Street Fighter Cross Tekken?
No.
I have very little interest in that. I gotta be. I don't. I like Street Fighter, but I got no love for Tekken.
Oh. Yeah, I feel the same way. Well, I really love Street Fighter, and I do not like Tekken.
Well, that's why I like this, because Street Fighter Cross Tekken is being developed by Capcom, only by Capcom, and it's gonna play like a Street Fighter game.
So then basically, it's like Street Fighter 4 with new characters. It may as well just be new characters to me, because I don't know any of these
right.
Tekken
and
characters.
It's got like tagging in and stuff. And actually, the way tagging works in this looks pretty neat. Like, you could combo into your tags and stuff. But then Namco's going to make Tekken Cross Street Fighter, and that's going to play.
They're going to make it like Tekken?
Right, exactly.
Okay. That's cute.
Well, yeah. That's exactly what they did. It's exactly what they did for Capcom versus SNK, and then there was SNK versus Capcom.
Right.
Yeah. I would kill for a Street Fighter versus Mortal Kombat. That's the one we've all been waiting for, right?
Yes.
That would be pretty fun.
Someday.
That's the iconic battle. Well,
that's the thing. I mean, you know, you got the new Mortal Kombat coming out. The fighting game genre is kind of enjoying a resurgence. It could happen. It could happen.
I want a new good Smash Brothers with online play that works.
Without tripping.
You might get that with the Wii, too. Who knows? Yeah, let's talk about that now. Thanks for the segue.
Well, apparently.
The rumor has it that Nintendo will either be at E3 or right before E3 announcing some sort of follow-up to the Wii. Supposedly codenamed Project Cafe. Rumors have it, like Tommy was saying, being at least as powerful as a 360, which I think is dumb.
Wait, why is that dumb?
Because, okay, great, you're going to release that in 2012, and then in 2014, Microsoft's going to come out with something that blows that away. And then you're going to be behind
it. You said at least as powerful. At least as powerful.
Well, yeah, I'm being optimistic. We'll see. The big rumor about it is that it will have a controller that includes a built-in touchscreen.
But is part of this rumor the fact that the controller is a controller, like with dual analog sticks and all that? Because that
guess.
Would be exciting.
I mean, it'll still support the Wii Remote. In fact, the controller could apparently be turned into the sensor bar, I guess. I mean, any two candles can be a sensor bar. That's not a big deal. But, I mean, basically, it's just taking the DS experience and putting the top screen on your HD TV.
You know, I'm kind of done with that. I just kind of want to have a Nintendo console that seems relevant again.
The controllers are going to be like fucking $60 plus.
I know, that's the thing. You figure every controller's going to have a touchscreen, and yeah, they're going to be expensive little fuckers.
We've been paying out of the ass for controllers for a while now, though.
That's true, they are expensive anymore.
I mean, even just an Xbox controller is like 50-something, right?
But Mike, what if you were the controller? Like the Kinect and the new Netflix patch. Look at that segue.
Anyway. You know what? Fuck the Netflix patch. Well, where have there been any Kinect games lately? Well, have any come out?
Yeah, there's been
since
a couple.
It launched? Like what?
That Fantastic Creatures or something. It's kind of another virtual pet game with unicorns.
Yeah, wow.
know.
Well, you sold me. Yeah. Never mind. I'm sorry I talked any trash. They had the fucking unicorn
actually,
game come out.
Ubisoft announced the game, too. It's like some kind of like fighting game using your avatar. And it's basically Star Wars. I mean, the guy had a laser sword and looked like he was force choking somebody. But that could be cool.
Anyway, I just think it's... Okay, go ahead.
Well, that's
whatever.
Not my point. Anyway, do you have a Kinect?
Fuck no.
All right, then obviously.
No, I think our producer was going to send us some Kinects when it was launching, because we were actually, this could have actually added to the confusion for our launch, because when that was happening, everything was transitioning and everybody was focusing on Kinect launch, which was similar to around the same time as our launch. Nice. And they wanted to send us on. I'm telling you right now, mark my fucking words, they will never make a game that is anywhere close to as fun or innovative as Wii Sports, and Nintendo will never make a game that is fun or innovative with their controllers as Wii Sports. I mean, it's just as simple as that. You're not going to come close. There's not going to be anything that's groundbreaking or amazingly fun for that thing. It has been done before. It's just a fucking business move, and they made a shitload of money because everybody buys what they're told. Right. It's some fucking marketing strategy, man. They fucking advertised at Burger King. They had toys. Like, it's fucking, what the fuck is that? You don't even have characters. Like, you have no flagship characters that you're launching your fucking system for, and you've got fucking toys and ads all over Burger King. It was like the whole thing was just a marketing ploy to get people to buy this system that is supposed to kill Nintendo system, when really it was just as good as Nintendo system. And Nintendo system, nobody fucking cares about anymore. So why the fuck are you doing it? Yet everybody fucking buys it, so whatever.
Everyone bought. I gotta imagine the excitement for that thing is tempered, right?
Well, like you said, I mean, there hasn't exactly been a stream of content.
No, exactly. And when it first came out, you know, it was on all the shows, you know, everyone talked about it, it was on Ellen and everything, and it was Christmas, but now who cares?
Right. Well, here's the thing. I mean,
go ahead. What do you want to talk about?
I tried the Netflix thing because I saw people bitching about it.
What the fuck is the Netflix thing?
Well, so, you know, like, you
what the hell is that? No, I want to tell him. It means that you can control Netflix by just like pointing at it with your arm now.
Oh,
kind of.
So something this not as attached. Intuitive as a goddamn controller.
Exactly.
That's fun. No, yeah.
Now look, I do.
I'm so glad he's here to counter your bullshit.
I like the voice commands. It's nice to be able to control.
Oh my god!
But here's the thing. Here's what's stupid.
This is what I'm going to say. This as simple as possible. Okay, this is the simple thing here. If voice commands and motion controls were actually fucking better than anything else, we would be using our hands and talking to our computers right now, because that's totally doable. But we're not, because no one wants to fucking hold their hands up to control shit and then talk like an idiot, so everybody walking around you can see that you're talking to your fucking television. No, this is all possible. This has been possible for a long time. Nobody uses it because fucking buttons are a lot more discreet and you can control them a lot better, especially when you want to fucking move around a mouse. It's a mouse cursor and you click on things with it. You know? It's not going to get better than that, guys. It's not. That's what you do, you know? And until there's a fucking headset on us that is discreet, that we can control shit with our minds on the television, it's not going to ever get better than a mouse, a fucking keyboard, or a controller.
Amen.
I was just going to talk about how shitty it was, though. Can I do that?
I don't believe you.
Well, no. I mean, no. It's shitty. Let me tell you why it's shitty.
It really is?
Well,
even you don't like it? Oh, geez.
I mean, you know, when you're just watching the movie, it's just like on Zune. You know, you could scrub the timeline, you could do the voice commands. But when you go to, like, play something, like you go to the dashboard, you say Xbox Netflix and it loads up, you get six or eight little movies that are like recommended for you, and you scroll to the right and there's six more, and then there's a thing that says explore more content. I'm like, okay, so I highlight that. I'm like, what, you know, I'm thinking, where the fuck's my instant queue? How do I search for something? I mean, I could do a search in the Zune marketplace. Where's that? So I get the explore more, and it loads the controller interface. And I noticed in the main Kinect interface, in the bottom left corner, it says, for more options and your instant queue, use an Xbox 360 controller.
No, yeah, it's just, oh my god, it's just this.
Well, I mean, like, they can do it. They've done it with the Zune program. They just, like, half-assed this and just put it out. Like, I don't know why they didn't finish it.
Well, no, that's the whole thing is it's as simple as this is marketing, right? Mm-hmm. We need to make sure that there's branding and everything, and we want people to have something that they can tell their friends. And it's as simple as, hey, did you hear you can control Netflix with your hand and with your voice now? Like, your sound clip, your sound bite right there is the reason why they invested X amount of fucking hundreds, thousands of dollars to update Netflix with this thing for just that. So you could say, hey, I'm watching Netflix on my Xbox. And then you could say, oh, did you know that you could control that with your Kinect now? That, done. That was the investment. Because then they will be like, oh, no, I didn't. Should I buy a Kinect? Is there anything good for it? No. Oh, okay.
Oh, the end.
Well, at least the Wii's getting cheaper. Amongst rumors that were swirling, it looks like the price cut is taking effect. It'll be $169, which is a really weird price point.
Indeed. They couldn't go down to $150.
Yeah, no. They need room for another price drop, so they could drop it to $150, like, by Christmas, and that'll be a big deal again. I don't see that having a big effect. Like, a $20 price drop? Yeah, not so much.
I can't imagine. I mean, every price drop helps a little bit.
Yeah, but a $20 price drop on a Wii?
It's not much.
Okay.
It's not much. I mean, they're only $80 away from where they launched at.
Yeah. Yeah, it's dumb. Okay, here's the last thing. So they've opened up registration for PAX Prime 2011, and they also announced a developer-focused event the days before PAX Prime called PAX Dev, which is kind of like, it almost sounds like a very small GDC. Like, it's intentionally kept small, very intimate, no press allowed, no fans allowed. It's just for developers. Apparently, people have been asking for this for a while, and so they've said, okay, fine. I mean, Edmund, have you looked at this at all, or have you made plans for it?
I hadn't heard of it, but I know that that actually just happens naturally before PAX.
Right.
Because when you're setting up, you basically get together and fuck around, and there's meetings and stuff that happen around before it. So it seems like a natural transition, just to kind of an official event more people will go to. Mm-hmm. But that sounds really cool. That sounds cool.
All right, then.
All right, that's we'll
move on to our next segment here. Let's go topical. Just going to bring up some topics relevant to what's been going on in gaming lately. We'll start off with last week's community topic, which was, is it wise for EA to call Battlefield 3 a Call of Duty killer? Give us your thoughts, and we would include you in the show, and we are. So here's what we got. First off, from Jeff Grubb. Naturally, it will be wise if it turns out to be a Call of Duty killer. It is a competitive corner of the gaming market, and there is usually only one game on the top at a time. If Battlefield isn't a Call of Duty killer, then why make it? Then he continues, I can hear Mike saying, why even make it? But just as an example, Crysis 2 isn't a COD killer. It is a COD wannabe, and a competent one from all reports, and it doesn't seem to be doing too hot. How do you still feel about this, AJ? Where were you last week on this?
I think you set yourself up for failure when you say that. I don't understand why you can't just make your game and just put it out and be like, you know, don't make a COD killer. Make the best Battlefield game you could make. Because people like Battlefield. Like, just say, we're going to make the best Battlefield game ever between Bad Company, 42, the 2, Modern Combat, whatever. This is going to be the best Battlefield game you've ever played. Everyone likes it, and this could be the best one.
I'll tell you why they did that.
Branding?
For the exact reason why you're talking about it. That's purely it. That's what it is. They knew that people would be like, whoa, you're gonna call out, you know, Call of Duty and say that you're the Call of Duty killer? And then that's just gonna be the next topic of discussion on a podcast and or friends and, you know, people that you're gonna talk to. You're gonna talk about that, and that's all it is. They just want you to talk. It's just
shit, so we're right. We totally fell for it.
No, we're just playing into the system now. Damn it!
But that's how it works. I mean, it's like, wait a minute. They're giving me something to solve here. You know, I've got to figure out, do I think that it's going to be the Call of Duty killer? What do my friends think? I should probably ask around. And then it just gets people talking about it.
Imagine how many people would have talked if the first thing he said about Super Meat Boy was, yeah, it's the Super Mario Brothers killer.
Yeah, that would have been the fucking stupidest fucking thing in the world for me to do.
Yeah, guys, remember Mario? get that shit.
Done.
Yeah,
no, you got this shit.
That kind of stuff only works if you've got the money to like really advertise for whatever it is you're talking about. I'm a huge fan of Battlefield, and I'm really hoping that the next Battlefield is awesome. I played Call of Duty. It's a lot more arcadey than I like my shooters to be when they're, you know, squad based or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I, you know, I was fine with it. I had a lot of fun with it. Me and my wife played it for a really long time and just played online. I thought the freaking single player was awful. Mm-hmm. Like I was doing nothing. But I really, of course, you know, as people buy it for the multiplayer and that's what it's there for.
Never makes any sense.
Yeah, I'll play Battlefield, and I don't know if it's going to be the Call of Duty killer. I'll tell you, Battlefield 2 was a Call of Duty killer. I still think Battlefield 2 is a better game than Call of Duty.
Yeah, Battlefield 2 is good.
So Pete Davison writes, the phrase Call of Duty killer immediately makes me not want to play it, but then neither Call of Duty nor Battlefield 3 are games for grumpy old loners like me.
Pete, you don't like Call of Duty. You're exempt from this conversation.
He's allowed to voice his opinion. Even Killam says,
even,
I don't think it's...
Evan?
Why did I say even? What the? I'm terrible with that. I'm sorry, Evan. Even. There's some people called Even. Right?
That is a made-up name.
Some people.
Nope.
Go ahead. No, you know what? Maybe it is Even. You're just assuming. You're the one assuming here. I'm going to call him Even because that might be his name for all we know.
We met him.
So Even says, I don't think it's wise. Listen, Even says, I don't think it's wise to call anything a blank killer. I'm not a PR guy, but doesn't seem like a good idea to center your marketing around name dropping the competition. If it doesn't turn out that way, people like me will laugh at them for their I'm going to say this word wrong.
Hubris.
Hubris, right? Is that how you hubris. Pronounce it?
No. Hubris. Oh, damn it.
I'm an English major. Yes, I know. I write. I write the words. I don't have to say them all the time. Instead of saying we're going to kill Call of Duty, why not say our game is very good? And if you like Call of Duty, why not try this one too? But you know, with punchier copy and fucking explosions and some sweet guitar riffs, like, okay, I can't believe I actually have to say this, like, squeedily, 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 dwee! Wait, what was I talking
about? I think that's how it's pronounced.
Okay, he's done. Let's move on to Michael Billen. While EA may think of it as a Call of Duty killer, that kind of talk should be kept in-house. Labeling the game will lead people to compare the two even more when Battlefield 3 comes out and the reviews start to pour in. Note that these comparisons were probably going to occur anyway, but EA could have at least pretended like they were going for something different and the chance that the comparisons start to turn out badly for them at release. Now they have just painted themselves into a corner PR-wise. They better hope it turns out. And finally, like Pete, I could care less about either of those franchises, and this situation isn't making me get in line to do so. I have played exactly 30 minutes of Call of Duty in my life and no Battlefield, no desire to go back either. Okay, so now Matt Gagari, did we figure this out? His last name. He sent us an email telling us how to pronounce it.
Yeah, I lost it.
Matt, he said an A, Matt Gagari. Gagari A. There we go. Matt Gagari. As a game-to-game comparison? No, they are two very different games. As far as sales is concerned, I think so. But it'll be with the help of something like Bad Company 3. Battlefield 3 looks to be more for the fans of Battlefield 1942 and Battlefield 2 with the PC as the focus. Okay, so thanks for writing in, everybody. Now we'll move on to our new topics this week. Okay, so first thing, what does the next Nintendo system need to succeed? Edmund kind of already filled us up with...
Yeah,
well, not Edmund. Tommy did one before he left.
Yeah,
he said,
I was going to say, one thing that Tommy said that I think they need to get right, and they're starting to with the 3DS, is an online infrastructure that's good. Like, I'm sorry, that's where everything is now. Everything's online, the cloud, connecting with your friends... Friend codes need to die a horrible death. There needs to be voice chat native to the system. It needs to be... Honestly, it at this point in time, whatever they come up with should be as good as, if not better, than Xbox Live. Like, that's the standard. You have to follow that.
The thing to keep in mind is the difference between succeeding and actually making something good. There actually is a difference.
Well, for sure.
And
the Wii succeeded.
Yeah, the Wii was a huge success, and I would not say that it succeeded in any good ways when it comes to gaming. They succeeded profit. They made shitloads of money, and they got their branding out like crazy. And they have the opportunity now to kind of reinvest their money into something that could tap back into the fan base that they lost with the Wii, which I hope they do. But yeah, there's a good chance that they're going to, you know, kind of like with like the 3DS, the whole 3D aspect of it was kind of a, you know, it's a gimmick that they grab onto and go with, and that's what's going to cause it to succeed. I mean, I think actually the reason why the 3DS succeeds is because it's a Nintendo handheld and everybody's going to buy it. But that's just something Nintendo does. And hopefully, for me, they will succeed in getting me back and in love with their games if they just, you know, start some new IPs, make sure that they have some really good developers for their system and don't alienate their core audience like they have.
And a new Smash Brothers would be nice.
Yeah. Well, that's what it's going to come down to. It's the fucking games. Like, who fucking cares anymore? I think at this point, everybody's over the next peripheral. I mean, you could look at the sales of Rock Band and Guitar Hero and the fact that Guitar Hero went under. Is people are over peripherals. Mm-hmm. You know, that was fun. You know, we did that for a good 6+ years. We're over it now, and we want to play games again. And people seem to really be actually gravitating towards PC again because that's where the hardcore games are. Like, mm-hmm. That's where the video games are, like what we right. know as video games. And I think if they just pull back towards that, I mean, if just give me another Pikmin, give me a new IP, give me another Smash Brothers, give me a new Zelda, give me a new Mario, give me all the good stuff again, and I'll come right back.
Mm-hmm. It's weird because it seems like it shouldn't be hard.
Yeah, like they have like a pretty decent formula kind of set up for them, like a nice little roadmap that says go here, profit.
Yeah, I mean they have the best IPs and they have some of the greatest designs, and Nintendo is one of those companies that, you know, like I've talked about before, like making sequels and stuff. Yes, they do tend to make sequels and they run them into the ground, like the Mario Party series mm-hmm. and all these fucking sports games that go nowhere, and I don't know who the fuck buys those things. But they also have the tendency to reinvent their games, which makes them really exciting and fun. Like all the Zeldas are always different, even though they're the mm-hmm. same core, you know, adventure game structure. There's usually always something really new about them design-wise that's really innovative, and that's what Nintendo does best. And, you know, give me more Metroids, give me more Marios with new mechanics and new, you know, new ways to play and new design mechanics, and, you know, put your mind back into that sort of stuff. And I'm totally a sucker for all that sort of stuff. Get some new developers, like, get some more awesome developers on the system. Make sure that it's online ready, like you said, like support independence because they've got a lot to say, and you're golden. I think a lot of other developers, like even Sony, like Steam, you know, all those, and even Xbox, like there's a voice there of the independent developer, and I think everybody would agree that a lot of the standout games that everybody they're talking about online this year, like Minecraft and Limbo, and even Super Meat Boy, like those sort of games are all independent games made by small teams. And if they just people would throw those developers a bone and really support what they have to say, I think a lot more games would come out, and people would be more happy and more inclined to buy their system if it was on it.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, next topic's pretty similar. If this system does launch in late 2012, as is being projected, would Nintendo be releasing the system too early or too late? And I kind of ask this because it's interesting because I don't think a Nintendo system has ever been the first of a new generation.
That's true. That's really true.
Right? And they're running a risk here of even if it's just as good as a 360 and PS3, then it's finally as good as those systems for maybe 2 years or however long it takes for the next systems to come out, then they're right back where they started.
Mm-hmm.
It's always kind of a risky thing to come out first.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, am I
answering my own question?
Yeah, you kind of did. But, like, I mean, it's like it's both. Like, it's too late to kind of capitalize on the Wii mania and release just, like, kind of an enhanced Wii. And it's too early to come out with something new that, like you said, in 2 years is going to be back to being outdated tech. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, when you think back to when the Wii first came out in 2006... And some of like the hardcore gamers are like, oh, this doesn't support HD, that's so stupid. And Nintendo's response and the kind of mainstream response is, oh, HD is not widely adopted, and you don't need HDMI, and no one's really going to care. And flash forward now to 2011, And I mean, I can't tell you just as a guy working at Best Buy how many people are like, "Yeah, how do I hook up my Wii to my HDTV?" And I'm like, "Well, it's you can't. What isn't it? Let's just get like the HDMI cable." I'm like, "No. The Wii's not HD," and they can't understand that. Like, it doesn't make sense to them. Like, how could this piece of technology I'm buying in 2011, current tech, not work with my HDTV the way I expect?
Well, it works, but
it works, but not the way they want it to.
That was the same reason why they didn't put a lot of focus onto multiplayer. They said flat out that people, not enough people had fast connections back then, which, you know, obviously isn't true, especially with the success of every other system's online stuff. We've all moved towards everything being digital. I think it'd be for me the next respectable system that really has the balls to do this, which probably could be pushed back for a while because of all the GameStops and Best Buys, but a fully digital system where you just download games. It's actually way more profitable for everybody involved, but it does cut out companies like Best Buy, and a lot of middlemen. You know, there's no factories making these games. Those people don't have jobs, so on and so forth. But for the actual developers, it's just better all around. Like, digital's just better. Like, it's just, you're not polluting. You're fucking not making waste. It's not taking up room in your house. The cost of the game is reduced considerably.
It's like
just
you
smarter.
Said. You said you're not making money off the digital release of Game Boy. That was
not
just
digital.
You wanted,
no,
the, or, I mean,
retail
the retail.
One.
Yeah,
I mean, that's just something you wanted to do. But yeah, it wasn't a money making move. That if you were totally profit driven, you would have never done that.
No, not at all. Retail is actually. I mean, you heard that like Borders is shutting down because Kindle, mm-hmm. you know, took over books. I mean, and that's barely anything that's happened yet, but. Everybody, we're fighting our evolution towards pure digital.
Mm-hmm.
That is where we're heading. This is where we need to go. And this is, but
I'm
everybody's
so
fighting.
It. It's scared. I don't like it a little bit. Like, I don't like it. I don't want to not have books anymore.
Yeah, but no, it's hard. I mean, the thing is, like, my wife is really big on the Kindle, and she gets everything on Kindle, but she still sometimes gets physical books. And for me too, like, I've got a fucking 3 terabyte hard drive full of like all my Rick movies and every fucking thing else that I've downloaded and I own is all on this hard drive. But I still own Arrested Development on DVD.
Yeah.
I still own, you know, Twilight Zone collection on DVD, the Twin Peaks and all the other, you know, things I really love and respect that I want physically. I do still buy those things. So
mm-hmm.
I think we all have an attachment to reality. Like, we want to have something physical there that's special, but realistically, we can't avoid the direction that we're heading, and this is the future. Like, we need to go digital. It's just the way it works.
Nice.
No other way to go.
Yeah, that was very nice. Covered a lot of ground there. Okay. So next, we kind of talked about this earlier, but so Tony Hawk said that there will be a new Tony Hawk game next year.
God.
My question is, should there be a Tony Hawk game in 2012?
Like I said, the only Tony Hawk release I want to see is just a remake of Tony Hawk 2 for XBLA, so I could just kind of go back to one little happy place. Stay there.
Tony Hawk.
It was so good, though.
It was great back in the day.
You can't go back to that, though. Like, that whole culture is kind of irrelevant almost, right?
And here's the thing. Like, they'll release it on XBLA, but, like, they couldn't get the licensing for the music, so that changed, and some of the skaters are gone, and it's fucked.
We can't go back home again.
No.
Dude, Tony Hawk 2 is one of those games where I played it so much that I remember dreaming about it and like having my hands twitch in the same like, you know, patterns that you do. Like,
I know. I played that game compulsively. It was so good.
It was great.
And I didn't give a shit about skateboarding at all.
Yeah.
I still don't. But man, I love that game. It's just, it's time came and went, and you know, the next thing came along, which, you know, was whatever. And then it was music games. And I mean, I think we're kind of at the point where the next thing's going to come. I don't know what it is yet. But
it won't
sure
be could... skateboarding again, though.
No. Hell no.
Oh, well. Let's see. We already talked about Streets of Rage remake. Don't need to talk about that. This is kind of more for my benefit, but Capcom should localize Ace Attorney's Investigations too, because they said they won't.
Oh, really? I missed that.
Yeah.
That's upsetting.
Yeah, this is just basically... Yeah, I guess that's just so I can say that and how I don't like it.
Didn't they say that about the first one?
Yeah, people always to this year. Remember when Atlas said they weren't going to localize Catherine, and then like 2 days later, they announced that it was coming out.
That's what they're going to do.
I hope so. I don't like that. You can't just release all the Ace Attorney games and just stop now, right?
I don't know. They sell?
I don't know, actually. I assume they must sell okay. I mean, like, you know, they're all over the place, the internet and all that, but it's hard to tell how much of that, like, there's a lot of memes and stuff about it, if that actually is
sales and people playing the game.
Yeah, you know, it's always hard to say, because everyone knows about things, right?
You'd be surprised how much of a pain in the ass localization is, especially with a game that's all, I mean, those games
text.
Are 100% text.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, like, it's not just literal translation. Like, you would have to hire a creative writer who would have to take the rough translation and then make sense of it. Like, nothing just translates literally. Like,
right.
Our translations for Meat Boy, and we barely have any fucking text in that, and that was totally thought out. Like, I didn't want to have to fucking localize all this bullshit. But in the end, it was still a pain in the ass. And it's just stuff just didn't translate well. Like, people, like, we'd get... When we were going through this, and I think we tweeted something like, I hope you guys in Germany really appreciate that we're localizing for you. And then some German guy's like, oh, we don't actually play it in German here. We play it in English because the German translation's usually so bad. It's just like, oh, great. That's great.
You're welcome. So they don't appreciate it.
Yeah, we also had to pay for localization to China, which is funny because you all consoles are banned there. So... it was just, I guess, like the what if, like, what if they take the ban off of Xbox in there and then we could release on Xbox Live over there.
Huh.
And, like, places like Brazil, like, I thought the game was out in Brazil and it's not because there's all these weird laws. Well, that's something else, but these weird laws about, like, ESRB ratings boards over there are really fucking hardcore.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, it costs shitloads of money to get ESRB over there. So there's just a lot of weird shit that goes along with that. And if you're making a game that is boxed only and it's only on one system, you're going to have a hard time justifying localization like that.
So I'm screwed.
Yep.
In terms of Ace Attorney. Oh, dang it. All right, here's our last topic. This is also going to be the community topic, so everyone feel free to look on Facebook after this, our group, and you can... They're not groups anymore, are they?
It's a page, I think.
It's just a page.
Yeah.
Yeah, gotta get with the times. So, and you can comment and you'll be on the next episode. So, the Grammys are beginning to accept video game music nominees into a few of their categories, kind of perhaps prompted by Baba Yetu winning a Grammy last year. So, if you could kind of retroactively give one game a Grammy for outstanding music, which would it be? And Edman, you cannot nominate your own game.
That's all I would do. The whole time I'm thinking, like, oh my god, that would be so awesome if Danny was even just nominated for something like that, because he really deserves it.
Yeah.
No, it was a great score for sure.
Let me think. Fuck.
I would have to say Mario Galaxy for me.
Mm.
Even though it's not that old. I love that soundtrack, though.
I think...
Very, just so soaring and awesome.
For me, some of the best soundtracks that really stick in my mind are Castlevania.
I was going to say either it would either be Red Dead Redemption or
Red Dead Redemption was technically impressive because of all the weird shit they were doing with it.
And I mean, just even the vocal tracks are good and everything. But either that or I'd even say Shadow of the Colossus. I think
I do love that soundtrack. Mm-hmm.
That's a good one.
Yeah. So, you know, this should be easy for you, community. Basically, I'm asking you what your favorite game soundtrack is. you should have fun with that.
Yes.
Oh, Katamari. The Katamari fucking soundtrack was amazing.
I have not played very much Katamari.
I like Katamari. I never could get into it.
We are both weird in that. We never got into Katamari like everyone else in the world.
If you're playing Katamari, just play the first one, because all the other ones were horrible.
That's why I can't play it, too. And see, I did play the first one. I was like, eh.
Oh my god, I fell in love with that. I would say, like, in the past 10 years, Katamari is easily one of the best games, I think, that I played in the past 10 years.
Actually, I think I only ever played the demo for the one that came out on 360. How did they mess it up, though?
It lost all of its heart and charm.
Well,
it just went dead.
It seemed like the first game was kind of goofy, almost on accident, and then they tried to do it intentionally from there on out.
It did kind of seem like that. Well, the whole thing was their designer just basically wasn't working on the other ones. Like, the guy just really designed this game. It was I don't know. It felt like an indie game. It felt like it just had a lot of heart, and I was surprised so many people got behind it and really released it. But it also was a really relaxing game. It was a pretty goddamn innovative game, and it was a genre, you know, making game. Like, the Katamari design is a new genre of games that has been created and a lot of people have copied. But it's just great. It was just there's so many aspects of that game where they were just profoundly, design-wise, were just profoundly original and just it's just awesome. I really like that game. I mean, there's quite a few games that I really liked from the past 10 years. I don't think everybody would agree with me on. I like Beautiful Joe. I thought that was an
insane game. I love Beautiful Joe. You kind of like Beautiful Joe, AJ. You couldn't beat it.
I couldn't beat it. I wasn't very good at it. I appreciate.
I didn't like Beautiful Joe 2 that much. No, I don't know why.
Again, the sequels. It's just a sequel thing. Like, it's not going to hold. It's not going to hold a candle to the first game because the first game just has something. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know,
that je ne sais quoi.
Exactly. That is just so special.
French, you and your don't French. Worry about it.
Yeah, I know.
You know, we should mention we should have done this when Tommy was still here, but Pete what? Did want to ask a question of you, Edmund, our friend Pete.
Oh, there, I'm so. Sorry. I'm sorry. You're right.
He would like to ask you, what is your favorite meat to put in a sandwich?
Hard hitting stuff.
Oh wow, we've never been asked that. And we were asked that so many times in development that we would just, I don't even know, we would just bullshit things. So.
No, I want the real answer. You better tell me the actual favorite meat for sandwiches. Actual
favorite meat in fucking sandwiches. Goddamn.
I can't do anything else.
Today, this is no going nowhere. That's the thing. Is like, there's no way to get to be funny with this.
And no.
It doesn't have to be funny. I mean, it's a simple question.
He wants to know. It's like a humane interest.
Okay. Well, today I had a bistro club at Safeway, which is grilled chicken breast. On like garlic bread with avocado, so I had chicken, and it's probably the most common meat that I eat because I don't eat red meat.
That's ironic.
So
chicken. Yeah, no, you don't eat red meat. Tommy was eating cheese roll ups. You guys are a bunch of posers.
Yeah, Tommy. I don't think Tommy eats red meat either.
Ironic.
Yeah,
pushing your pro vegetarian agendas and all this. You guys probably made super tofu, boy.
Well, we're far from vegetarians, seeing as that we do eat meat, and I have.
Sure.
Yeah, but I can't eat red meat because I was a vegetarian to get chicks when I was in middle school.
You were that hip guy.
And I was a vegetarian for like maybe 5 years, and then I tried to get back into it, and I could only eat fish and chicken without getting sick.
My friend did the same thing.
Yeah, it's the enzymes. I don't have the enzymes in my stomach, and I really don't feel like it's worth it to go through, you know, barfing and shitting myself for, you know, a couple weeks to.
My friend who's listening to this probably feels really good right now because he had the same problem for a little bit. And he was a vegetarian, and I made fun of him endlessly for it. Then he's tried to eat meat again, and it got him sick for a while, but he kind of like muscled through it.
Yeah, for me, it's just not fucking worth it. I accidentally ate pork like about 3 years ago, and I just started throwing up, and I'm like, okay. It's not worth it. Like, I don't like bacon that much, you know?
Yeah. Do you hear they have a bacon milkshake now at Denny's?
Oh my God. Did hear that, actually.
Yeah.
You know, the horrible thing is it sounds kind of good.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, because it's got that salty and sweet.
No.
It's like dark chocolate with salt on it. Have you ever had that?
Oh,
like,
yeah, that's good. We ever had bacon chocolate?
Like a chocolate pretzel.
Bacon chocolate is good.
What the hell are you talking about? Okay,
yeah, let's move. Little bits of bacon.
I don't even know. You guys are talking about bacon chocolate now. We're done with that. So this is the time where we talk about the games we have been playing this past week or recently. Emma, have you been playing anything interesting or at all?
Let's see. Blah, 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 blah. What did I play? Well, I'm usually always playing Spelunky. And I pick that up whenever I'm bored because it's endless. And if you haven't played Spelunky, it's like... design-wise, it's probably one of the best indie games of all time, so everybody should
own a copy of it somewhere. I just haven't played it.
You probably own it because it's free.
Oh, well, where
did you go then? You probably think something
I'm mixing it up with something.
Spelunky is a game by Derek Yu that came out about 2 years ago, and it's a procedurally generated platformer, but it has a really, really awesome formula to it, which takes its design from roguelikes, which I don't know if you guys...
Yeah,
we know roguelikes.
So, it's pretty hardcore, and a lot of people will put it down and don't actually progress through the game because they don't understand that the goal of the game is to, like, get to level 4 and then cash in your money so you could buy shortcuts to level 4. Mm-hmm. And then at 4 levels, there's a new shortcut, and then you finally progress your way, you inchworm your way through the game, buying little save points. It's just a fucking amazing game, though, because every time you play, it's totally new, and there's a lot of really great design choices in it. I love Spelunky. yeah, I've been playing that. I've been playing Pokemon. I recently put it down, though. I got sidetracked.
How far did you get in the Pokemans?
I think I'm at the last gym leader.
Oh, he's Dragon One. He was a bitch for me because I had no ice Pokemon.
You know what it was? I think I was in some, like, I was in some castle and I randomly came across this really bizarre looking rare dragon Pokemon, and I tried my best to, like, get him, and then I couldn't, and then I could never find him again, and I was like, ah, fuck, I really want Pokemon. And it just got a little depressing, and I just stopped playing it.
I know the feeling.
Let's see. Other than that, let's see what I've been playing.
Are you playing Pokemon on your 3DS, by the way?
No, I'm playing it on my extra large DS.
The DSi XL. Yeah. I never had one of those.
Nintendo sent me one for my birthday.
That's good.
That was nice of them.
I think that the DSi XL is the first Nintendo handheld that I did not buy. Like, ever.
Like, it's just an upgrade. You know, it's just
right, but we even bought all the upgrades.
I still have every iteration of Game Boy hardware. I got all the DSs.
You get the mini?
Yeah, I had the Famicom Limited Edition. My brother's got it for Christmas.
And you still have all these things?
Yeah,
you still have
I have all my Game Boys in a box, in a, like a shoebox. Every single one. I'm very proud of that. The only one I don't have was the Game Boy Light that was only released in Japan. But I don't count that because there's no way I could have gotten it as a kid.
Yeah, I used to collect video game stuff like hardcore. Me and my wife collected about 400 Nintendo cartridges.
Wow. Nice.
And then, I don't know, it's like I got to this point where I'm like, oh, I don't want to have physical things anymore, I guess.
Yep. We've established that I let go of it.
There was something there where I just let go of the physical stuff, and I realized, wow, this is hard to move. I'm not interacting. If I'm not interacting with it on a day-to-day basis and it's just in a box somewhere, maybe it's better that I don't even have it because I don't, you know, if it burned down or if I lost it, or I wouldn't even realize it, so... I don't know, just kind of, mostly I think it's because my mom's a bit of a hoarder, and she has a bunch of storages, and I kind of, like, got overwhelmed when I saw how much stuff that she had been collecting and just building up, and I realized, holy shit, like, I don't want this stuff. So, I sold, like, shitloads of my DVDs. I used to collect DVDs as well. I had, like, 1,000 DVDs, and I trimmed them down to, I think, a good 150 DVDs, and then got rid of all my Nintendo games, and got rid of all my CDs, and also because I didn't have money, so I was selling them for money. This was around a little bit before Super Meat Boy time. So,
Okay, you're preparing for the future when we're all just living in a bubble.
I'm preparing to die, and I don't want my future.
What? That got a little morbid. Huh? Well, you want to tell us, Edmund?
Well, I'm just thinking, like, you know, when my mom, you know, God forbid, when my mom passes away, what the fuck am I supposed to do with all of her stuff?
Right.
Yeah. You know, like, I guess it's just like I just want to do the opposite of whatever she's doing, and I don't want my passing to be a burden to anybody else when it comes to them, like, having to deal with the shit that I've collected over the years.
On that note, AJ, what have you been playing?
Oh, let's see. I played a shit ton of Dragon Age 2 this week, which was good times. One thing I did do, too, to try it was the PC demo for Dragon Age 2. You know, everyone bitches, oh, they console-fied it, and all the strategy's gone, blah, blah, blah. PC gaming so ruined right now.
I can see where this is going.
What a bunch of fucking idiots. Did you play the demo for half an hour? There was a hot bar, I was pausing shit, I didn't play in real time for a single moment. It was totally... I don't know what more they wanted. It was awesome. I mean, it played completely differently from the Xbox version. Completely. Like, I don't know what they want.
You're calling them come out then.
I guess the only big thing that changed from the first one, because I haven't played the first one on PC, was you can't move the camera anywhere.
Like, well, that seems to be their big thing. That is the sticking point.
I can fucking see. It's right over there. Click there. It was not hard. So I don't know what they were bitching about. I just think like they just wanted to bitch and didn't actually play it.
I mean, it's not the only bitching we've been hearing about Dragon Age 2 in general.
I think it's all blown out of proportion.
The game is an epicenter of bitching at this point.
Yes. Let's see. Best Buy had a kiosk demo for the Michael Jackson experience for the Kinect.
Well, do we really? We have to talk about this?
Real quick, only because it's also pretty shitty. Because here's the thing, like, it came out for the 360 and the PS3, and the PS3 is just an HD port of the Wii version. You know, it just plays like Just Dance. You're holding the controller, whatever. So the Kinect one, I could appreciate that they kind of tried. It does, like, that same thing that your self-fitness does, where it has, like, the kind of 3D model of you, like, up on a stage with, like, these Michael Jackson background dancers, and that's like, okay, that's cool. So, you know, it's very much like Dance Central, you know, you got to dance in time with everything, and it'll give you the moves, and you're seeing yourself up on the stage. There's, like, a good second and a half delay of your action on screen and what's going on with the music and the background dancers. And it just, it never works, because you always feel like you're behind. So, like, kudos
you're not
for trying, I guess, but yeah, it didn't work at all. Like, I can't believe they released it like that. So, whoops.
Sounds amazing.
Yeah.
You know what's to go with my theme of depressing things to say, you know what's depressing about the Michael Jackson thing? The fact that, that's depressing. But no, the fact that there's a reason why Michael Jackson didn't release games when he was alive is because he didn't want to. he's gone now. His parents and, you know, everybody in his family own all of his shit. So they're going to juice it. And,
whoops.
So I just can't help but think, like, oh, wow, this probably went against his wishes.
Michael Jackson Moonwalker in the Genesis was awesome.
So not only is it's just technically bad, it's morally bad.
I guess so. Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Let's see. I played the XBLA demo for Might and Magic Clash of Heroes, which was released on the DS last year. Very excellent game.
You'd like that on the DS.
I love
right?
it. Yeah, it's a great game. So, I mean, it's, you know, it's the same exact game, just redrawn with HD graphics. It's all very pretty, hand-drawn art. So, yeah, I mean, if you haven't played it before, or if you really liked it, definitely check that out. And then I took advantage of the Humble Indie Frostbite Bundle, which is kind of the next evolution of the Humble Indie Bundle. It was all games from Frostbite. And these are the guys most famously known for Trine. And just what's cool, too, is when you get these bundles now, they give you a code to unlock the games in Steam. And you actually also got a code to unlock Trine in OnLive. So I was like, okay, well, I'm going to get this. I have Trine already on Steam, but I'm going to just to fuck around. I just tried playing it in OnLive. And it worked well, so I was pretty happy with it. But, I mean, if you haven't played Trine, you really should. It's a really, really good game.
Well, Trine 2 is coming at this point, right?
Right, but, I mean, you could go get this. You could pay $1 for the whole bundle if you really wanted to and get Trine.
If you were a jerk.
Yeah. But, yeah.
Is that it, then,
that's
for you?
That's it for me. Did you play anything?
I actually played Sonic Colors.
How is it?
I actually bought Sonic Colors. It is not terrible. It's probably the best.
That's a glowing
Sonic
review
game I've
of
played
a Sonic
in years.
Game.
It's the best Sonic game I've played in years. I can honestly say that.
Get that out of the fucking box. Not terrible. Naughty.
I mean, like, there's cutscenes that are usually stupid. Sometimes they're kind of funny. Like, Dr. Robotnik's funny, but, like, Sonic is incredibly smug in all of them, and, you know. But, like, the actual game is just very 2D Sonic-y. There's a lot of actual platforming in it that I appreciate. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not just running blind, you know, not knowing what's coming and just dying and falling into pits. My big problem with it really is, like, it, you know, I don't want to be like, okay, every Wii game's non-HD, wah, and cry about that all the time, but this game, it's all about very bright colors, and it's like in a theme park, so it just all ends up looking kind of fuzzy.
Right.
Like, it really should have been in HD. Like, it really does just feel like I'm playing a GameCube game, especially when I realize that you can plug a GameCube controller into the Wii and use that to control it.
Oops.
Yeah, it feels a lot like a GameCube game then. But no, I mean, you know, I'm enjoying it. I beat Oblivion finally. That's really old, though. I don't feel like I don't know if I need to put everybody through that. Okay. Talking about Oblivion like it's relevant. but I beat it, so you can all be very proud of me.
Good job.
There's a new Oblivion coming out, right?
Skyrim.
New Elder Scrolls.
Yep.
Yeah.
I know. I really like Oblivion. I like Fallout as well.
I loved Fallout. That's why I played it, was because I never really got into a lot of these Western RPGs until I played Fallout 3. And then I played that, and I loved it, and I kind of been retroactively playing through a lot of these now. Like, I finally went through Knights of the Old Republic and played that, and I got into Dragon Age when that came out, and I played all the Mass Effects, and now I did Oblivion, I beat that. I'm all very proud of myself. And now I'm ready for Skyrim. Mostly it was because I liked the trailer for Skyrim a lot, especially the music. And I was just kind of, like, excited. I didn't know what to do with all that excited energy. So I was like, I might as well play the other one that I didn't really play yet. So there we go. All
right.
Okay. Why don't we, we're about to wrap up then. Why don't we just get through these releases, and I guess that'll be the
what
show.
What came out this week, Mike?
Well, like you said, Might and Magic Clash of Heroes for PS3 and Xbox 360 Arcade. And we can check that out. Michael Jackson, The Experience, like you talked about, for Kinect. That's great. Magic of Vietnam's coming out, came out.
Well, it's DLC, right? It's not a standalone.
I don't really know. The way it looks almost kind of standalone-y here.
I thought I read some of that. It was actually DLC, and I was kind of...
I don't really know much. Patapon 3. Are you ready? Do we need more Patapon?
No.
That was a neat concept. I don't think we need to do 3 Patapons.
If I understand this one, it's you only control, like, 3 Patapon.
Oh, it's that different.
Like, yeah. I mean, it plays the same, but it's just about a smaller, more important army.
Rio. It's a party game. Apparently.
Probably
like
not as good as Angry Birds Rio, I would guess.
I would imagine not. Divinity 2, the Dragon Knight Saga. I thought you loved these names.
I know, they're great.
The Dragon Knight Saga. Well, you know it must be good. There's dragons. World of Tanks. I've been seeing some things about this. I think just a lot of ads.
World of Tanks is the first and only team-based, massively multiplayer online action game dedicated to armored warfare.
They are probably not incorrect. Tom Clancy's Splinter Cell 3D for the 3DS, apparently not very good. Fantastic Pets, hey, it's that unicorn game you're talking about. There's that. And let's go ahead
Lego
and call
Lego Battles
it.
Ninja Go? How do you skip that?
What do you want me to say about it?
I don't know. It's Lego Ninjas.
Okay, there you go. Lego Battle. It's not ninjas, it's Ninja Goes. Whatever the hell that is.
Indeed.
All right, that's this show. Edmund, you have been an incredible sport, volunteering to come on here after I was saying ignorant things about Super Meat Boy on Twitter.
Thank God you did.
No problem. I read it and I saw it, and I actually I was familiar with the name because I believe you. I don't know if you guys did it, but did you guys ever interview the guys from the IGN open house?
No, you're actually like our first. What we call real gaming industry person on this show.
So well, for this show, I do some other things, but this is like our pet project almost.
Yeah.
Compared.
Well, I'd heard about the name somewhere, and it seemed familiar. And then when I saw the post, I'm like, oh,
that guy.
it's me.
But yeah. No problem at all.
No. Yeah.
Thank you
awesome
for setting us
you
straight. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thanks for coming on. Thanks to Tommy too, who's
drinking
now
a
gone.
2-liter diet Dr. Pepper. Yeah.
He's in a better place now.
he's clutching his 2-liter bottle and his bag of empty wrappers for his cheese roll-ups in bed. He's all yes. Cozy.
So everyone, be sure to go buy Super Meat Boy if you haven't done that.
Yeah, get the Ultimate Edition off Amazon or Walmart.
Well, apparently he's not making money off that, though. You should get it on Steam, maybe.
Buy both.
Yeah, buy
both. And then unlock Portal too early. Everybody wins.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Or you can just fucking torrent it and steal it. I don't care.
you heard it. Hey, everyone, you heard him. Pirate that shit.
You'd be surprised how many people email us and be like, hey, I pirated your game. I feel pretty guilty about it. I just want to let you know I bought it. It's whatever. That's you know, nice. There's no demo. There's no demo out, so fuck it. I don't care.
Sure, there is. X-Valley Trap.
If you like the fucking game, buy it. But I don't give a fuck what you do. It's your fucking life.
You have to live with that guilt.
Yeah.
Someday.
I used to steal from Kinko's to make comics when I was younger, so I understand.
Man, hope no one from Kinko's is listening.
Yeah, they're going to sub-clean our asses.
Now I got dirt on you, man.
Yeah, they're coming after me.
Yeah, now I demand the next big exclusive on your next game. I'm turning
it in. It used to be really easy to steal from Kinko's because they used to just have these like little cards that you'd plug in. I don't know if you remember. They were like these keys that would plug into the sides of the machines, and they would just tally up the number of copies you'd make. And then you're supposed to bring up your key and say, hey, I made this many copies. So what you do is you have two keys, and then you just put all of them on one, and then you just toss the key behind the copy machine, and you just go up with the one you made like three or four copies with. You put everything else in your backpack, and you're done.
Yeah, there you go.
And that's
you can't do it. You can't do it anymore.
Well, I mean, if you ever time travel and find yourself in an old Kinko's.
It's sad that I was going to say the exact same thing.
That's,
yeah,
well, this is,
it's valuable. It's valuable information for time travelers.
Indeed.
So, I mean, where else can our fans check you guys out? Where else do you live online?
Twitter, Super Meat Boy Twitter, just Super Meat Boy. You know, Twitter. You know how it fucking works. Internet.
The internet.
Yeah.
Google them, for
go
Christ's sake.
Google that shit.
Yeah. As for us, though, you can find more of us on the iTunes Music Store, the Zune Marketplace, on Twitter, Facebook. You know, we're also all over the place these days. Be sure to respond to the Let's Go Topical question this week on our Facebook page. All right. Thanks again, Edmund. Had a great time.
It was delightful.
And we'll be signing off now. We'll see you next week right here on the Exploding Barrel Podcast.